Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're taking a look at a huge topic, the history of African people.
A history that goes way beyond, the typical things we hear about.
Yeah, like a slave trade or, this image of Africa as just being defined by poverty.
Right, and we really want to kind of go beyond that today and uncover this history that spans literally thousands of years.
Filled with empires and innovations and all this cultural richness.
Yeah. And I think we'll find some surprises along the way.
Oh, definitely. So to guide us on this journey, we're going to be looking at some excerpts from W.E.B. Du Bois' book, The Negro.
Now, I know that title might sound a little outdated to modern ears.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
But Du Bois was such a brilliant mind. He was a sociologist and a historian who really challenged the way we think about race and African history.
Absolutely. So let's dive right in. One of the first things that Du Bois tackles is this concept of a single Negro type.
Yeah, this idea that all African people share this, one fixed set of physical characteristics.
Which is obviously ridiculous. I mean, it would be like saying all Europeans look and act the same way.
Exactly. And Du Bois makes this comparison. He compares Negro to terms like white or yellow. And he argues that just like those terms encompass a huge diversity of appearances, so too does Negro.
So we should be thinking of African as like this broad category.
More like a continent with, countless different ethnic groups, languages, and cultural traditions, not this, monolithic category.
Right. And that brings us to another interesting concept that Du Bois talks about, which is Africa as the land of the mulatto.
And, putting aside the outdated language, what Du Bois is really getting at here is this mixing of populations, and not just in modern times, but throughout history.
Oh, so this mixing has been happening for centuries.
Yeah, for centuries. And he makes the point that while this mixing applies to all continents, it's especially prominent in Africa.
Why is that?
Because Africa didn't have the same level of what he called climate-driven bleaching.
So you're saying in certain regions like Europe, people may have developed lighter skin tones over time because of, less sunlight.
Right, which affects the production of vitamin D.
So because Africa has such a diverse range of climates, and because it's been this crossroads for different populations, you see a much wider range of skin tones and features.
Exactly. It's like a living testament to, the interconnectedness of humanity. And to really illustrate this point, Du Bois quotes this author named Palgrave.
Okay.
And Palgrave talks about finding the genuine African model in the features of ancient Egyptian statues.
Wow, that's fascinating. It really makes you rethink those images of ancient Egyptians we've seen in, textbooks and movies.
It really does.
And speaking of ancient Egypt, our sources really dive into the Nile Valley as this cradle of civilization with these deep African roots.
It's interesting because we often think of ancient Egypt as somehow separate from the rest of Africa.
Hmm.
But the truth is there was so much back and forth, so much cultural and political exchange between Egypt and other African kingdoms like Ethiopia.
Right.
And there's actually a lot of evidence that suggests the ancient Egyptians themselves had, Negroid origins.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not just based on their physical features, but their cultural practices. And there were even periods where Ethiopia ruled over Egypt.
That's incredible. I never learned any of that in school. It really changes my whole understanding of ancient Egyptian history.
And it really makes you think, if ancient Egypt, with all of its advancements and influence, had these strong African roots, what else have we been missing?
It's a great question. And it makes me even more excited to see where this deep dive takes us. What else is there to uncover about all these different African civilizations?
Well, for starters, we need to kind of shift our focus away from just Egypt being the sole, definer of African history. Our sources also talked about all these sophisticated kingdoms along the Guinea coast.
Like what?
Well, like the ancient Yoruba civilization, for instance. They were known for their artistry, especially in Benin, where they mastered bronze casting and terracotta sculpture.
So while Europe was still, in its early stages of development, these West African kingdoms were creating incredible art and building these complex societies.
Exactly. And they weren't just artistic hubs either. Mm. You also had these powerful states like Dahomey and Ashanti, which unfortunately later became intertwined with the slave trade and its devastating impact.
Right. I mean, we can't talk about African history without acknowledging the tragedy of the slave trade.
Definitely not. But it's also important to remember that these societies were complex and dynamic long before that.
Yeah, this is already so much more nuanced than what I learned in school.
It really is. And understanding that complexity, I think, is key to going beyond these simplistic narratives.
Right. Like, we need to see the full picture, both the achievements and the injustices that have shaped the continent.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about something else. The sources mentioned the Bantu migrations. Can you explain what that was?
Yeah, so the Bantu migrations were basically this massive movement of people that transformed Central West and even South Africa. They didn't just travel, they brought with them all these advanced agricultural techniques, ironworking skills, and they even formed powerful states along the way.
It's incredible to think about how something that happened centuries ago, you know, could have such a lasting impact on the entire continent.
And it wasn't just about movement, you know, it was about cultural diffusion, the spread of knowledge and technology over vast distances.
That's fascinating.
It really is.
Okay, so one more thing that I wanted to touch on was this mysterious city, Great Zimbabwe. What can you tell us about that?
Ah, yeah, Great Zimbabwe. It's like this real-life archaeological puzzle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's this lost city in southern Africa with these massive stone walls and a history that we're still trying to piece together.
Wow.
There's evidence of advanced gold mining, incredible craftsmanship, and architectural genius. You know, there are all these theories about who built it and what happened to them, but it remains this intriguing mystery.
Like a reminder that history is always evolving. You know, we're constantly making new discoveries and reinterpreting the past.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so exciting. There's still so much to learn about Africa's past.
I'm already hooked, and we've only just scratched the surface. But before we go any further, I want to pause for a second and ask, you know, why should someone in Deer Park, LaPorte, or Pasadena, Texas, care about ancient African history?
That's a great question. And I think it gets to the heart of why we study history in the first place.
Hmm.
You know, we often think that things that happened, you know, centuries ago have no bearing on our lives today.
Right.
But the reality is that the past is always shaping the present, even if we don't realize it.
So it's not just about memorizing dates and names.
No, it's about understanding humanity, you know, understanding ourselves and our place in the world. And that kind of understanding is important no matter where you live.
Absolutely. I mean, it helps us break down stereotypes and appreciate the interconnectedness of our world.
Exactly. And it reminds us that we all share this common heritage.
So even though we're focusing on a specific region, the lessons we learn have global implications.
Exactly. Yeah.
And sometimes understanding what happened thousands of miles away can actually help us better understand our own community.
That's right.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground, but there's still so much more to explore. What's coming up in part two of this deep dive?
Well, next time we're going to dig into Du Bois' critique of racial prejudice.
Okay.
We'll talk about the devastating impact of the slave trade on African societies. Hmm. And we'll also look at some examples of the incredible ingenuity and resilience of African people, even in the face of, you know, unimaginable hardship.
Sounds like it's going to be a heavy but important conversation.
It will be.
Well, I can't wait to hear more. And to our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with part two of our deep dive into the captivating history of African people. Welcome back, everyone, to our deep dive into African history. In the last part, we talked about the incredible diversity of African people.
And how that diversity has often been misrepresented.
Right. But Du Bois really takes it a step further, you know?
Yeah, he really challenges the very foundation of racial prejudice. You know, he tackles this whole narrative of racial inferiority that emerged from the slave trade.
Which, unfortunately, is a narrative that, you know, still persists in some parts of the world today.
It does. It's really disheartening. But you know what I find so powerful about Du Bois is that he doesn't just expose those prejudices.
Yeah.
He, like, dismantles them. He systematically breaks down this idea of Africa as being inherently backward.
Mm.
And he shows how those ideas were rooted not in, you know, science or fact.
Yeah.
But in this need to rationalize, you know, exploitation and oppression.
It's like blaming the victim instead of acknowledging the role that things like colonization of the slave trade played.
Exactly. And he emphasizes that modern science just completely refutes any claims of inherent racial inferiority.
Hmm.
You know, this isn't about opinion. It's about recognizing the fundamental equality of all human beings.
Right. Regardless of race or origin.
Exactly.
It's a message that I think resonates really deeply, especially today, when we're still grappling with the legacy of racism and discrimination.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that we need to constantly question those narratives that we've inherited and challenge the systems that perpetuate inequality.
Okay, so we can't talk about African history without confronting, you know, the devastating impact of the slave trade.
Right. And our sources are very upfront about the Chasse scale of this catastrophe and, you know, the profound impact it had on African societies.
Yeah. It's easy to think about the slave trade as just, you know, this distant historical event.
Right.
But its effects are still felt today.
Oh, absolutely. Not just in Africa, but throughout the Americas and the world. It's a wound that hasn't fully healed.
And it wasn't just some, you know, small event in history.
No, it was a continent-wide tragedy that spanned centuries. I mean, think about it. Families were ripped apart, populations were decimated.
Right.
The progress of entire civilizations was just brutally interrupted.
It's hard to even fathom the immense suffering that took place. But, it's important that we don't turn away from this difficult history.
You're absolutely right. We have to acknowledge the horrors of the past so that we can learn from them and work towards a better future.
Okay, so amidst all of this darkness, it's also important to remember, the resilience of African people.
Yes, absolutely. Our sources really highlight, the rich and diverse cultures that existed beyond the shadow of slavery. They remind us that African history isn't just about struggle and tragedy. It's also about creativity and innovation and, that enduring strength of the human spirit.
I like that, the enduring strength of the human spirit, because it really is like, we're seeing two sides of the same coin here.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you have this immense suffering caused by these external forces.
Right.
And on the other hand, you have this extraordinary resilience and ingenuity of African people in the face of those challenges.
Exactly. And to truly understand African history, you have to hold both of those truths in your mind at the same time.
I agree. Okay, so let's talk about some of those achievements. What are some examples of that ingenuity and cultural richness that flourished in Africa?
Well, our sources mentioned several fascinating examples. Did you know, for instance, that some scholars believe iron smelting might have actually originated in Africa?
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's evidence to suggest that African societies were working with iron long before their European counterparts.
Wow, that's incredible. I always learned that ironworking originated in like Europe or the Middle East.
It's amazing, right? It just goes to show how much we still have to learn about African history and how much of that knowledge has been, obscured or downplayed.
Yeah, it really challenges those Eurocentric narratives that we've all been taught.
It does. And our sources also talk about, those vibrant marketplaces and social customs and political systems that existed across the continent. You know, these weren't just, simple societies. They were complex and organized and highly adaptable.
Yeah, it's interesting because we often talk about the slave trade as if it defined African societies.
Yeah.
But the reality is that these cultures were thriving and evolving long before that. And they continued to adapt and innovate even in the face of, unimaginable challenges.
Exactly. And that leads us to a really important question, which is, what is the legacy of slavery and how do we move forward? Our sources talk about the lasting impact of slavery on African people in the Americas, the ongoing struggle for freedom and equality, and the resilience and achievements that have emerged despite systemic oppression.
It's a heavy topic, and it's one that's relevant to all of us. Even here in Southeast Houston,
Right.
we might not have, a direct connection to the slave trade,
Right.
but we live in a society that was built, in many ways on the backs of enslaved people.
That's true. And the legacy of that system is still shaping our communities today.
It is. I mean, we see it in the inequalities that persist, in the racial disparities in wealth and education and healthcare.
Yeah.
And it's, heartbreaking.
It is. And it's a reminder that, we can't just sweep these issues under the rug. We have to actively work to dismantle the systems that perpetuate these inequalities.
So how do we even begin to do that? I mean, how do we address such a complex and deeply rooted legacy?
Well, I think the first step is acknowledging the truth of the past. We can't move forward if we're denying or minimizing the realities of history.
And acknowledgement isn't enough, is it? Like, we need to actively work to dismantle those systems.
Exactly. Whether it's supporting organizations that are fighting for social justice or advocating for policy changes or simply, having difficult conversations about race and racism, we all have a role to play.
We do. This deep dive has been really insightful, but it's also been challenging. It's forced me to confront some uncomfortable truths about history and about our society today.
And that's the power of history, isn't it? It has the ability to, challenge our assumptions, to make us uncomfortable, to push us to think critically about the world around us.
I agree. I'm excited to see what other insights we uncover in the final part of this deep dive. What can our listeners expect?
Well, in the final part, we're going to explore the impact of colonialism on Africa, the movements for independence, and the challenges and triumphs of building new nations in a world that's, still grappling with the legacies of the past.
Sounds fascinating. Well, to our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the final part of our deep dive into the history of African people. And we're back for our final part of this deep dive into African history. Wow, it's been quite a journey, hasn't it?
It really has.
From ancient empires and cultural achievements to the slave trade and its lasting impact. And now I think we're moving into a chapter that's often overlooked or misunderstood, the era of colonialism.
Yeah.
When I think of colonialism, My mind usually jumps to like the 19th century, European powers carving up Africa.
Right.
But our sources suggest that it's a much longer story.
Oh yeah, definitely. The seeds of colonialism were sown long before the official scramble for Africa.
So when did it actually start?
Well, you can trace it back to earlier periods of European, exploration and trade, especially along the coastal regions. European powers, driven by, economic ambitions and this sense of superiority,
Right.
they started establishing trading posts and settlements, and they gradually expanded their influence inland.
So it wasn't just this sudden takeover.
No, it was more of a gradual process of encroachment and exploitation.
And as their power grew, so did their control over, resources, trade routes.
Exactly, and ultimately the lives of African people.
And when we talk about colonialism, it's not just about political control, right?
No, it's also about the cultural impact, the imposition of foreign values and systems onto African societies.
Right, because it wasn't just about, drawing lines on a map.
No, it was about reshaping entire societies. I mean, European powers imposed their languages, their religions, their educational systems, their legal frameworks,
Wow.
often with little regard for, the existing cultures and traditions.
It's like trying to force a square peg into a round hole.
Exactly.
And it makes you think about, the lasting impact of that. How do you reconcile your own cultural identity when it's been, overshadowed or even suppressed by another culture?
It's a question that a lot of post-colonial societies are still grappling with today. It's about reclaiming those lost traditions and reasserting cultural pride and, forging this new sense of identity that honors both the past and the present.
It sounds like a delicate balancing act.
It is.
Okay, so let's move on to the movements for independence that, swept across Africa in the mid-20th century.
Yeah, after decades, even centuries of colonial rule, African people rose up to demand self-determination, to reclaim their sovereignty, to chart their own course as independent nations. And these movements weren't always peaceful,
Right.
they were often met with fierce resistance from colonial powers.
It's a testament to that, enduring spirit of resistance, that refusal to accept oppression.
Exactly.
But achieving independence was just the first step, right?
It was. Building new nations from the ground up after centuries of colonial rule came with its own set of, unique challenges.
I can imagine. I mean, where do you even begin?
Right. It's like imagine trying to rebuild a house after a devastating fire. You have the foundation, but you have to reconstruct everything else, the walls, the roof, the plumbing, the electrical system.
It's a monumental task.
It is. And then you have the added challenge of reconciling those cultural identities that we talked about before. Figuring out how to honor the past while, embracing the future.
And let's not forget the economic challenges.
Right. Many African nations were left with economies that were structured to benefit colonial powers, not their own people.
So they had to diversify their economies, build infrastructure, create opportunities for their citizens.
Exactly.
It's clear that, the legacy of colonialism is still shaping the realities of many African natives today. But amidst those challenges, there's also this sense of hope,
Absolutely.
a determination to build a better future.
You see that hope in the innovation and the creativity and the resilience of, the African people, in the vibrant cultures that continue to thrive and, the artistic expression that challenge boundaries and the entrepreneurial spirit that's driving economic growth.
It's like we've come full circle, from those ancient empires to the struggles of colonialism and the triumphs of independence.
Yeah.
We've witnessed this, enduring spirit of the African people.
We have, and I think as we wrap up this deep dive, it's important to remember that African history isn't just about the past. It's about the present and the future. It's about understanding the complexities, the challenges, and the triumphs that continue to shape, the continent and its people.
This deep dive has been incredible. I feel like I've learned so much, but I also realize how much more there is to explore.
There's always more to learn, right?
Always. It's inspired me to keep learning, to keep questioning, to keep seeking out, diverse perspectives.
That's the beauty of it. Learning is a lifelong process, and understanding history is so essential for building a more, informed and compassionate and just world.
Well said. And to our listeners in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena, we hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity and inspired you to learn more about the rich and complex history of African people. Remember, understanding the past is key to shaping a better future, both for ourselves and for our community. If you found value in our show, please support us at thinkanddactlocally.com/donate. The link is in the show notes. Thanks for listening.